Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael, of the House of Israel, located here at 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth on this great and glorious day as we approach the evening on the ninth day of the seventh month, before the evening, before the Day of Atonement. And we're going to discuss with you the first day, or the first part of the Day of Atonement. Part one. And we're going to deal with the various laws that govern the Day of Atonement and the various laws that one must adhere to in keeping the Day of Atonement, even the evening before the Day of Atonement. And there's many things that you want to keep in mind as we go into the evening. But first, let me once again give our praise and honor to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is damn is. By saying hallelujah. And who is this Yah that I come before you and bring you his words? Well, this Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. Yah is our Savior, our King, our Lawgiver, and Yahweh is the only Elohim, period, not just of Israel, but the only Creator, the only Savior of the world. And today I bring you his words. As I stated before, we are speaking to you the evening before the Day of Atonement, because there are things that the Almighty wanted us to do even in the evening before the Day of Atonement. Tonight's program will be on the laws of the Day of Atonement. And then tomorrow we will be discussing the meaning of the Day of Atonement. And today the laws. Before I get started, I do want to say shalom to my fellow Morays and beautiful brothers. Shalom.
Shalom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, many people have a lot of questions, and it is true, as I stated to you before, that in the Israelite community, those who might be tuning in for the first time, those who might be new to listening to us, and those who may have already celebrated the Day of Atonement, it is true in the Israelite community that the Day of Atonement, as well as many other holy days, are celebrated at different times, as well as different days. But I don't want our people to be misguided or caught up with these events, because the Creator said the crooked things will be made straight. What our people must be caught up in, however, is their will to want to be one people once again. And if you have the will to want to be one people, you will be one people. And you will gather yourselves together, as the Almighty mandated we should do. With that said, we will be discussing with our people why the Israelite community is so divided. There's really answers to that question. And there are solutions to our problems. But tonight, we're going to deal with the laws of the Day of Atonement. So let us start reading about this law. That way we can understand what you're going to hear tonight. The first place I want to start reading is in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. In the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, we're going to start reading at the 26th verse.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And ye shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be, that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be, that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Shabbat.
So here we see the various laws on the Sabbath day or on the Day of Atonement. The Almighty let us know that we were to keep the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of the 7th month. The Creator lets us know that we are to have a holy convocation. The Creator also let us know that we were to afflict our souls. You also see here an offering made by fire also was presented to Yah. It says, in that same day, we were not to do any work. For it is the Day of Atonement. But a couple things I want to emphasize, because Yahweh emphasized it. He emphasized the fact that in the 28th verse, he says, and ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. So here it is, the Almighty emphasized the fact that if you don't afflict yourself in that same day, you shall be cut off from among your people. And then the Almighty emphasized the fact that whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that the same soul will I destroy from among his people. So those are two laws we want to pay real close attention to, because these are laws that can destroy you as well as cut you off. Then he reiterated, you shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings, regardless of what anyone else is saying. He said, this is done in all your dwellings. And then watch the 32nd verse. It shall be unto your Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. How many times he had to tell you to afflict your souls? How many times he had to tell you it's a Sabbath of rest? And how many times do we have to tell you that you're not to do any manner of work? If he said, don't do no manner of work, people would say, well, Yahweh just don't want us to work, but I can go to the park, I can go to the museum, I can go to the football game and the baseball game, and I can go to the track field, I can go to the graduation ceremony because I'm not doing any work. But not only he said, don't do no work, but he also said, and you must keep it as a Sabbath. And we're going to explain to you what a Sabbath is. Because some people think the word Sabbath just means rest. All you got to do is rest. And all you're doing, is resting. Then it says, in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. So the Almighty threw some in on this particular day that you won't see in any other day. You won't read nowhere else. This is the only day that is kept over the course of 2 days. And that's the ninth at eve until the tenth at eve. Because really the Day of Atonement is just on the tenth. But the Almighty wanted you to afflict yourself and keep it a Sabbath from the ninth to the tenth at eve. No other day is like this. You will never read nowhere in the scriptures, and I mean nowhere, where Yahweh told his people to keep any day from evening unto evening. Even though they tell you the Sabbath is from evening to evening, Yahweh never said that, with the exception of the Day of Atonement. And there is no other day Yahweh told you to keep from evening unto evening, except for the Day of Atonement. Because this day happened over the course of 2 days. But what is the evening? Oftentimes our people, they're taught to keep the Day of Atonement from evening to evening. But then, as soon as you begin to ask the various teachers, what is the evening? And all you got to do, don't believe me, don't trust me, don't listen to me. Ask your teachers. Ask them when is evening? And you're going to get a lot of different answers. Well, if you don't know when evening is, then how can you begin your Sabbath? If you don't know what evening is, then how can you begin afflicting yourself when you don't even know when evening is? And the vast majority of our people don't know when this is. So let's first, since we're dealing with the laws of the Day of Atonement, let's try to give you the understanding you need to even start your atonement correctly. And you'll find this. Let's go first to the book of Judges. Now, this is strange to some of our people. Judges 19. This is going to sound strange. And the reason why it's going to sound strange is because Judges actually explain and define every part of a day. And I'm talking about the law. But they'll tell you the law is just from Genesis to Deuteronomy. But then when you go to the law, there are certain things our people can't explain unless they go other places. Because Yahweh wanted it to explain different places. Because all this is the book of Yahweh. Watch what it says in the book of Judges 19. And we're going to start reading at the first verse.
And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Yehuda. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Yehuda, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodge there. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he arose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way.
So on this 4th day, he arose early in the morning to depart. Now, when is early in the morning? Well, the word morning comes from the Hebrew word boker, which means the break of day, the dawning of day. In other words, when day begins to break forth, this is called the morning. Go ahead.
Verse 5. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he arose up to depart. And the damsel's father said to his son-in-law, comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thy heart be merry.
Yeah, he told him, look here, just stay all night. Don't worry about it. Just stay all night. You'll be fine.
And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore, he lodged there again.
So in other words, they didn't say when he was getting ready to depart this time, but his father-in-law convinced him to stay all night. And this is what happened in the 8th verse.
And he arose early in the morning on the 5th day.
Now it's the 5th day to depart.
And the damsel's father said, comfort thy heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon.
Now they tarried until afternoon. Now afternoon is after midday. You got the morning, and then you have midday, and now you got after midday, or what you know of as afternoon.
And they did eat, both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening.
Yeah, the day draweth toward evening.
I pray you tarry all night.
In other words, it's not at evening yet, but since we're in the afternoon, the day is drawing towards evening.
The day groweth to an end.
In other words, it's not at an end yet, but the day is growing to an end. Because evening according to the scriptures, is the end of a day. The word evening comes from the Hebrew word erev, which means, and which also comes from the Hebrew word arab, or Arab, as you might pronounce it, Arab, or Arab. This means the word Arab, or Arab, or erev, actually means mix, to co-mingle, to be mixed together, twilight. In other words, when you, at evening times, you have a mixture of light and darkness. And this mixture of light and darkness, you can't tell whether the day is prevailing anymore, and you can't tell whether the night is prevailing anymore, because now it's mixture. That's why oftentimes people get confused when trying to determine evening, because they don't know which one is ruling. And so you don't have to be confused, because the word erev actually means to mix. That's why sometimes you see one of these Arabs in the store, and you can't tell whether he's white Arab or black Arab. Now, when you can tell, you say, oh, he's black. When you can tell, oh, he's white. But then sometimes you see these Arabs, and they just mix, mingle. Because that's what Arab means. It means mixed. That's what Arab means, mixed. And you don't have no mixing going on when the sun just start going down in the afternoon. That's not no mixing or commingling. You can tell it's still day. It ain't even close to night. But then the closer it gets to night, and evening is right before the night, and the closer it gets to night, then that's when all the confusion come in. But I'm saying you don't have to be confused, because it is evening. Continue reading.
I pray, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry. And tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed, and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. And there were with him two asses saddled. His concubine also was with him.
Yeah, in other words, he was, since the day was drawn toward evening, go to the end, he said, lodge here, that thy heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you early on your way, that you may go. But the man would not tarry that night. He said, man, I got to get out of here. I got to go. You know, the evening coming in, so let me just get my journey going on. I don't want to be caught up in the night. Continue reading. 12th verse.
And his master said unto him, we will not.
No, 11th verse.
And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent.
Now the day is far spent. It's not the morning. It's not the afternoon. It's talking about the day is far spent. Now the day has grown to an end. The day is toward evening now.
And the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it.
Yeah, because we're not going to make this journey. This is the day of far spent. Go ahead.
And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, come and let us draw near one to these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way. And the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin.
In other words, They never even made it to the place because once at the time that they were reaching this place, it was night. The sun was down. It was night. Go ahead.
And he said unto his servant, come, let us draw near to one of these places, Lodzoni in Gibea or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way. And the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibea, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and lodge in Gibea. And when he went in, he sat him down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging.
Yeah, so he just sat down, you know.
And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even.
Yeah, because that's when you come from the field. You come from the field from your work at even. In other words, it's still light, but the light is fastly leaving. Because evening is always near the night. That's why whatever you do at evening, you got to do it quick because the night is right behind it. And typically, in a short period of time, within 40 to 45 minutes later, no more than an hour, the night will be in. That's how close evening is to the night. Furthermore, to show you this, in the book of Joshua, because what are we discussing right now? Or go to the book of Genesis 15. We're discussing what is evening because the scriptures say from evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So ain't no sense of us talking about the celebration or the keeping of the Day of Atonement, and we don't even know when it began. Genesis 15. Starting at the 12th verse.
And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him.
Now, at the time the sun is going down, it's not evening. Just because the sun is going down, that don't make it evening. This is just the afternoon. This is after midday. After midday, then the sun start going down. Go ahead.
And he said, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with a great substance.
Yes, and this is talking about our people. And yes, it's talking about this captivity. It's not talking about Egypt, but continue reading.
And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down.
In other words, it was going down before. But now it says, and it came to pass that when the sun went down.
And it was dark.
And this word dark comes from the Hebrew word alata, which means mixed, mingled, commingled. In other words, this word dark really is the same exact word as erev. It's a different Hebrew word. But it means exactly the same thing, because now it's dark, because erev is dark. It's dark. It's a mixture. It's a commingling. It's light and darkness mixed together. Go ahead.
But and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites.
This is what he received. This is when he made this covenant, and it was all at evening because Yahweh wanted this done before the day had left. And he did it right at evening. And when is evening? When the sun went down. And when is that? When it got dark, or alata, which means twilight, or commingled, or mixed, or dusky, or covering. In other words, you had this mix going on that it's an obvious mix because it's not day and it's not night. It's evening. Furthermore, just to show you another scripture on this, because we hear many laws concerning this thing in the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter. And this is a law. From evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath concerning the Day of Atonement. But it's not just from evening to evening. It's the ninth at even. From evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And this is when it all begins, in the evening. And most people, the Jewish people, will have you to believe evening is right after midday, right after noon. Well, if evening was right after noon, then your Sabbath will be over, because all Sabbaths is over in the evening. Most people think the Sabbath is over at night. And no, the day is over at night, but the Sabbath is over in the evening. As a matter of fact, the day is ended in the evening. All days end in the evening. In the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter, 25th verse.
Joshua
10, verse 25. Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed.
So that's the 24th verse, so everyone can understand what we're reading.
And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings to Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with them, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them, and said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall Yahweh do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening.
Yeah, see, if you don't know when the evening is, then how can you operate and do anything? Because evening is a set period of time. Evening is not some random time that you do things. It's a set period of time, just like morning is a set period of time. But both periods of time are periods of time that don't last long at all. They don't last long. They're very short period of time. But the men was hanging upon a tree until the evening. And what happened at that time?
And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the tree.
In other words, at the going down of the sun. In other words, now the sun commenced with evening. In other words, the sun has descended to the point where now it's not ruling. Now it don't have dominion. Why? Because now the sun is down. You might still see it, but it's not ruling anything. See, the lower the sun gets, it loses its strength. And the more it loses strength, the darkness and the night begin to rule. But it's not ruling yet because the sun's still there. It's just losing its strength. And now you're at evening because the day is not ruling. The night is not ruling. But you're in this period of time where it's called evening. It's mixed. Continue reading.
And they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones on the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day.
Right. And so this is what Joshua and them did. Because if you know our laws, this thing had to be done before the night. So at evening time, they wanted to make sure they got this done. It's just like, show you another scripture. Just one more. This one is in the book of Genesis, the 30th chapter. Turn there. Read the start at the 14th verse.
And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening.
He came out of the field in the evening. How do you know it's evening? Because in the sky, you're going to see a commingling, a mix. How do you know it's evening? Because evening is the last part of the day. How do you know it's evening? Because evening is always right before night. Continue reading.
And Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night.
And he lay with her that night. Why? Because that's what come after evening. The only reason he came out of the field because it was evening. Because he knew after evening it was going to be night. So now let me go ahead and start my journey before it gets evening. So this is the first thing you must understand about the Day of Atonement. That is to be kept and celebrated from evening unto evening. So you start it before night and you end it before night. A lot of people will tell you, a lot of teachers say, "Man, wait till it get dark before you start eating and drinking and all." That's not what the law said. The law didn't say, wait till it get night, wait till it get dark. The law says from evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. From evening unto evening shall you afflict your soul. Nor do the law tell you that evening is right after noon, so you do it till right after noon until right after noon. No, evening is always right before the night. And if you didn't do it at the proper time, either one or two things was going to happen. Either night was going to catch you if you didn't do it soon enough, or you did it too early before the evening even came on. And Yahweh don't want you to do it neither time. He wants you to do it at evening. So it's important to know what evening is. Another law that the Creator wanted us to be aware of is not only we're to celebrate the Day of Atonement from evening, from the night day at evening. From evening unto evening shall we celebrate our Sabbath. But he said we were to afflict our souls. Let us read that again in the book of Leviticus 23. Because tonight we're talking about, and that's because it's night now, we're discussing the laws of the Day of Atonement. And tomorrow we'll get into the meaning. And I want you to read the 29th verse.
For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people.
See, so the Almighty said you're going to be cut off among your people if you're not afflicted in that same day. What do the 27th verse say?
You said 37?
27.
Oh, 27. Also, on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls.
In other words, you shall afflict your souls in the 10th day of the seventh month. And then the Almighty lets us know, in other words, that he said that twice. Now, this is the third time in this same thing the Almighty is going to try to hammer this point away in the 32nd verse.
It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And ye shall afflict your souls.
In other words, again, still telling you to afflict your souls. So what is afflict your soul? Now, some people will tell you this is the wrong translation, and it shouldn't be the word afflict. The correct word, the proper word, this should be humble. It should say you shall humble your souls. And I think Yahweh wanted this word there for a reason. And it is correctly there. The same word that Yahweh used here in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, is the same word Yahweh used in Genesis 15th chapter when Yahweh said, that you're going to be afflicted for 400 years. Because affliction is humble. Humility. And humility is affliction. And what some people want to teach you, they want to take the affliction out of humility. And Yahweh wants affliction in humility. When you look up the Hebrew word for affliction, not only in the scriptures, but in the concordance, it'll tell you to chasten oneself, to humble oneself, to weaken oneself. And you'll find these same things in the scriptures. Now, if I didn't find it in the scriptures, then I would disregard it. But you'll find this in the scriptures. So let's see if this is what we're supposed to do according to the law. The law says afflict yourself. Or you can say the law says humble yourself. But either way it goes, you still have to define what the word afflict means or what the word humble means. And I'm going to show you that they mean the same thing. So let's go to the first place in the book of Deuteronomy 8 chapter. And this is what Yahweh did to humble or to afflict. Because, once again, they mean the same exact thing. They don't mean nothing different. And we're going to prove that right now. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, because tonight we're talking about the laws of the Day of Atonement. We talked about first, when do it begin? At evening of the ninth day at evening of the month. And from evening unto evening shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. From evening unto evening shall ye afflict yourself. Now we're speaking about what is the affliction. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 8 chapter, the second verse.
And thou shalt remember all the way which Yahweh thy Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee.
Yeah, and that same word humble means to afflict.
And to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments, his commandments, or no.
And if you didn't believe that this word humble means to afflict, watch what Yahweh said in the third verse.
And he humbled thee.
And he humbled thee.
And suffered thee to hunger.
Yeah, because that's how he humbled you. He suffered thee to hunger. Go ahead.
And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know.
And you know the people was humbled because they complained of just eating a bunch of manna. What is it? Go ahead. And why did he do it? Continue reading.
That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah does man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years.
And watch what Yahweh wanted you to consider out of all this.
Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so Yahweh, thy Elohim, chasteneth thee.
So this is what Yahweh was doing. He was chastening the people because they wasn't going to chasten themselves. They wanted steaks and greens and cornbread and all kind of other stuff. But he didn't give them that. He gave them manna. And they complained about it. And he suffered them to hunger. This is a form and a practice that Yahweh himself used to humble the people. Now, what did Moses do for humility? Let's see, in the book of Deuteronomy, the ninth chapter. Because now we're talking about the law of affliction. We're supposed to afflict ourselves, that's the law. But how do we understand what affliction is? And one say, well, no, that means humble yourself. Well, then, that's fine. Then how do you humble yourself? We still have to know how you do it. Well, you just humble yourself by saying sorry. How's that humbling yourself? Just by saying sorry. You humble yourself by just saying forgive me. How do that humble yourself by saying, look, I'm sorry, man, please forgive me. People say that all the time and ain't humble. At all. Look what Yahweh said in the book of Deuteronomy 9 chapter, or rather what Moses said. And who was Moses? Moses was the lawgiver. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, starting at the 17th verse.
And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. And I fell down before Yahweh as at the first 40 days and 40 nights.
Because that's what he did before Yahweh the first time. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. Go ahead.
I did neither eat bread nor drink wine, water.
Yeah, he didn't drink no water. Because, he didn't eat no bread. But why didn't he eat bread and why didn't he drink water?
Because of all your sins, which he had sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger.
And why do you think we refrain from eating bread or drinking any water from evening to evening? Because this is how you go before Yahweh, especially for sin. But anytime you're humbling yourself before Yahweh, you have to learn how to go near unto your Elohim. And most people don't know because they haven't been called to let the people know how to approach the Most High. And further, it says in the 19th verse.
Verse 19?
Yes.
For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure, wherewith Yahweh was wroth against you, to destroy you. But Yahweh hearkened unto me at that time also. And Yahweh was very angry with Aharon to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. And I took your sin, the calf, which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof in the brook that descended out of the mount.
Yeah, that's what he did with that sin. It was a grievous sin. So grievous that he thought to go before Yahweh. If I go before Yahweh and ask him to forgive their sins, I better take a sacrifice unto Yahweh. I better do something so Yahweh can forgive their sin. And what did he do? He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He neither drank water, nor did he eat bread. Furthermore, what did King David do to humble himself before Yahweh? Well, you read this in the book of Psalms 35. Now, most people will tell you, well, this ain't the law. Well, you won't even understand the law without reading the things that I'm reading. You just say, well, that's humble. But you'll never know how to humble yourself. And most people don't know how to humble themselves. This is why oftentimes they never find humility. And the Almighty said, walk before me humbly. And the righteous, which I'm reading about, all the righteous know how to walk before Yahweh. They know exactly how humble to be. And they know they don't stand around Yahweh just eating and acting a fool. Watch what it says in Psalm 35. Starting at the 9th verse. Psalm 35 and 9.
And my soul shall be joyful in Yahweh. It shall rejoice in his salvation.
He's talking about his soul. Because the scriptures say the soul that does not be afflicted in that same day shall be cut off from among his people.
All my bones shall say, Yahweh, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth.
Why? Because the scripture said the wise heart, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, and our people are sick right now, which means this. All our clothing should be sackcloth. We infested with sin, we reap with iniquity, and we have a smell of transgression. We are a sick people. But David, for the sick, his clothing was sackcloth. Go ahead.
I humbled my soul with fasting.
And I humbled my soul with fasting because that's what the righteous do. You won't see where the righteous humble their soul through eating, humble their soul through drinking, humble their soul through anything else but fasting. Go ahead.
And my prayer returned into my own bosom.
Yeah, so that's what David did. And what about all the various calamities that came upon Job? What did they do with Job? Well, let's see in the book of Job, the second chapter. You see, our people is in a time of trouble. And nobody had more trouble than Job. And Job, when he was found in a time of trouble, let me show you what he did. Let me show you what his friends did. And let me show you what should be done in a time of trouble. And we're in a time of trouble. I don't know how many Day of Atonement the Almighty is going to give us before he say enough is enough. And you're going to ask yourself, well, when did you humble yourself, for real, humble yourself? Where was your, where did you rend your heart? In other words, when your heart gets rent, then what you're going to see is a person weeping and mourning, and they don't got time to be worried about their makeup. That's why we don't wear makeup on the Day of Atonement. You don't got, you're not going to be worried about putting on some earrings and rings and jewelry. That's why we don't wear jewelry on the Day of Atonement. Because our heart is rent. We're not thinking about no jewelry. We're not thinking about no makeup. We're not thinking about getting dressed up on the Day of Atonement because our heart is rent. Now, we do have to put on something, so we put on sackcloth because that's how we feel today. We feel like dirt. We feel like sackcloth. We look like dirt. And why? Because that's how our heart feels. Our heart is full of dirt. Dirt called sin. Dirt called transgression. Dirt called iniquity. And what is transgression? Well, the word transgression literally means rebel, rebelliousness. That's why when you commit a transgression, you're a rebel. What is iniquity? Iniquity is presumptuous sin. When somebody just, they just refuse to do the right thing. They just do it over and over again, but they come into Yahweh as if this is the first time they ever did this. But they keep doing it. And Yahweh know they keep doing it. It's iniquity. And sin in of itself separation from the Most High. But it gives you the opportunity to be forgiven. So you look dirty. You act dirty. And when I say you look dirty, I'm not talking about your physical appearance. I'm talking about your ways are dirty. The Almighty said, our righteousness is as a filthy rag. Your ways are dirty. Your speech is dirty. Actions, everything about you is dirty. Your heart is dirty. So you might as well put on the garment of dirt. The garment that represents how you really are. And maybe Yahweh will spare you for it. Because you have acknowledged how filthy you really are. Or you can eat and drink, put on jewelry, dress up, and not recognize nothing. And make people think you clean, but you're really not. Watch what it says. Job 2, starting at verse 11.
Job chapter 2, verse 11.
Now, when Job's three friends heard all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namahathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him, comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, and knew him not.
In other words, they looked real far, and they immediately, they didn't even know him.
They lifted up their voice and wept.
In other words, they couldn't even contain themselves because they came to mourn with him, but they at least came to comfort him.
They lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle.
They rent their mantle
and sprinkled dust upon their heads.
They just start putting dirt on their head
toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great.
Yeah, in other words, they already knew they couldn't say nothing. His grief was so great. They couldn't say nothing. All they did was sit on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, sprinkle dust on their head. Now, why did they do this? Did they do this for Job? No. Where did they get this custom from? From Job? No. All the righteous did this. This is what the righteous did. The wicked didn't put dirt on their head. The wicked didn't adorn themselves with sackcloth and all that. The wicked heart is in the house of feasting, not in the house of mourning. But this is what they did during a time of great trouble. And our people are in trouble. And this is what we want you to see. And what about Nehemiah? Let us turn there. Well, before you go to Nehemiah, go to 1 Kings 21. And not only we put it on sackcloth on for the Day of Atonement, but we do it all night and all day. In other words, I don't want nobody to see me and Dawn with nothing pretty on. And I don't care what color the sackcloth is, it all itch real bad. It's going to do the same thing. 1 Kings 21. And I want you to start reading the 25th verse.
But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all the things, as did the Amorites, whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went softly.
And see, that's what Yahweh has already pronounced evil on our people. But when have they put on sackcloth? He's already determined to allow certain calamities to happen to Israel. But when have they fasted? See, on the Day of Atonement, you fast for your sins. But when will you fast and seek the Most High? Well, he has seen the trouble coming. And when he heard this trouble, and we already read about the trouble that's coming to us, and ask yourself and ask your leaders, when have they done what? I mean, Ahab, they said he was one of the wicked. There's none that worked the wickedness like him. But when have you put on sackcloth like Ahab? And fasted like Ahab? You're supposed to be more righteous than him. Look what he did.
And the word of Yahweh came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me?
Why did Yahweh see that this was how one humbling himself before him? Because this is how the righteous humble themselves. This is how one humbled themselves. Ahab was very wicked, but he had enough sense to know how to go before Yahweh. In other words, what Ahab did, he let Yahweh know that I believe what Yahweh said. And Yahweh judged the heart. So you can do things outwardly. It's like somebody can cry outwardly. They can be crying. Like a lot of people ought to do, they go before Yahweh and just start crying. Yahweh know your heart ain't bleeding just because you crying. He know that. See, he judged the heart. But he knew Ahab, when he rent his clothes, put sackcloth on his flesh, and began to fast, and he lay in that sackcloth, and he went softly. He knew, man, this guy humbling himself. Because people just don't just do this to fake the funk. Yahweh know what people will do to fake the funk. And Ahab what? And he said, seest thou how Ahab humbling himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. But in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Why? Because Yahweh said he's going to visit that iniquity unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. He's going to visit it. And of course, Yahweh did. And here I'm showing you the various laws that you have to know in order for you to keep the Day of Atonement. Number one, from the night at eve, from evening unto evening shall you afflict yourself. From evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And this is what we must do. But our people have learned this. I'm going to just show you one more scripture about afflicting yourself. I love this because this is not even our people. And it's in the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah, the third chapter. Starting at the first verse.
And the word of Yahweh came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim.
Yeah, he just went in the city and cried. That's all he did, was went in the city and cried. And the people was in a frantic state, and they believed it. So word got around real quick, that the prophet came in the city and he cried, in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Go ahead. So the people of Nineveh what?
Proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them.
So they proclaimed a fast. And so you won't think the people spearheaded this. But they believed also. Continue reading.
For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes.
Why is all this stuff necessary to do if it don't mean anything? If it has no value? If it's not a part of the law? If it's some vain custom that our people done picked up from other people, why is it getting Yahweh's attention? And why isn't our people doing this? It seems as though you would do anything to get Yahweh's attention, but our people ain't doing this. Some of them fast, some of them don't. I don't see none of them in sackcloth. And most times I see them anointing themselves, like it tell you to do in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it tell you don't do this. It'll tell you to get dressed up. Anoint yourself. Get cleaned up. And of course, this is what our people do. Because they'll see a scripture where it says, don't rend your garments, rend your heart. In other words, Yahweh started seeing that was vain. Just like he seen the Sabbath our people was keeping were vain. Just like he seen the calling of assemblies were vain. Just like he said the keeping of the new months was vain. Because many of the things our people were doing, Yahweh seen it as vain. It had no value. It was just a show. And Yahweh was tired of the show. But don't eat and lay in sackcloth all day and don't do no work and see if that's just a show. Look what Yahweh said in the book of Isaiah 58. Because right now we're just talking about the laws of the Day of Atonement. And tomorrow we will discuss the meaning of Day of Atonement. And of course, we will be meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. We will start meeting at 10 a.m. to finish celebrating our Sabbath. In the book of Isaiah 58, watch what this says. The second verse. Well, I'll start at the first verse.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Yaakov their sins. Yet they seek me daily.
And why does Yahweh want you to do this? Because our people really don't know what a transgression is. They don't know that that's someone that has become a rebel. They have become rebellious. They don't realize the house of Yaakov, they don't know their sins. And this is why we're bringing these truths to you, so you will know. And it says in the second verse, yet they seek me daily. In other words, they praying to me, they calling upon me, but they coming before me this kind of way. Go ahead.
Yet they seek me daily to delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook the ordinance of the Elohim.
And forsook not the ordinance of the Elohim. In other words, they act like they did righteousness. They act like they didn't forsake the ordinance of Elohim. Go ahead.
They ask of me the ordinances of justice.
Yeah, they ask me the ordinances of justice.
They take delight in approaching unto Elohim.
In other words, they had no problem with approaching me, and they don't even realize how filthy they are.
Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not.
And that's what they say, we fasted to you, Yah, but you don't even see us.
Wherefore have we afflicted our soul?
Because that's what afflicting your soul is, fasting. And fasting is afflicting your soul.
And thou takest no knowledge.
But you're not taking knowledge of this affliction, Yahweh.
Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors.
See, Yahweh don't have a problem with fasting. He's got a problem with the way in which you fast. See, our people in a day of our people fast, they find pleasure. You're not eating nothing, but you're still finding pleasure. That's not an affliction. You might as well hit eight. You might as well get you some popcorn and put some butter on it and put salt on it and put some cheese on it. And why? Because you're still finding pleasure. And then it says, and you exact all your labor. In other words, you don't forget. You can go a day and do so much stuff, laborious stuff, and forget, man, I didn't even eat today. And this is what our people are doing. They finding pleasure in their fast. In other words, they fasting, but they still gossiping. They're fasting, they still watching TV. They're fasting, they still listen to music. They're fasting, they can go out dancing. They fasting, they still doing the laundry. They're fasting, they still working. In other words, you might as well not fast. Because your body and your mind and your soul and your spirit is not with Yahweh. This is why Yahweh told you, in your fast, you must keep the Sabbath from evening unto evening. Because you don't understand what the Sabbath is. Go ahead.
Behold, ye fast for strife and debate.
In other words, you're not only doing all your work and finding all your pleasure, but you fast for strife and debate. In other words, your fast don't stop you from getting mad. It don't stop you from fighting. It don't stop you from arguing. As a matter of fact, let a man not eat and see how mean they get. See how angry they get. Dang, man, I ain't ate all day. Well, why are you so angry? I ain't ate all day. Why are you so short? Man, I'm hungry. I ain't ate all day. Let you not eat and see how you feel. This is what they say to you. Why? Because they ain't ate. Why you didn't eat? I ain't had time. So now they mad. Now they angry. Now they, it's like they fasting for strife and debate. But watch this. Continue with you.
And to smite with the fist of wickedness, ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen?
Yeah, Yahweh never chose a fast like this, where you can get angry just because you ain't ate. You can be mean, and you can be short, and you still doing all your labors, and you doing just all kind of things under the sun. That's not no fast that Yahweh chose. The fast Yahweh chose is when you afflict yourself, you also supposed to have a Sabbath. And our people ain't having no Sabbath during the time of their affliction. They still gossiping and talking crazy and talking about people and scorning people, and they not fasting at all. But watch this.
Is it to bow down?
No, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush?
And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to Yahweh?
See, none of these things mean nothing to Yahweh if you don't understand the end result. The end result is not, well, I'm not going to fast at all. I'm just going to eat. I'm just going to drink. That's not the end result that Yahweh is trying to tell you. Since he don't like the way you fast, you're going to say, well, I'm just going to eat then. Since he don't like the way you do things, well, I'm just going to drink. No. This is what Yahweh want done in your fast. Go ahead.
Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to Yah? Is not this the fast that I have chosen?
And he's still talking about a fast. Now, what's the fast that Yahweh has chosen?
To loose the bands of wickedness.
In other words, that's what Yahweh wants you to do in your fast. So while you're fasting, and what is fasting? Well, all you got to do is look it up in the scriptures. Fasting is when you refrain from things like food and water. Now, while you're fasting, the fast he's chosen is to loose the bands of wickedness. In other words, start meditating, not talking, meditating and praying and sitting down, understanding what Yahweh wants from you. And what do he want? He wants you to loose the bands of wickedness. Because the Day of Atonement is all about sin, atoning for sin. How can you atone for sin when you don't even know what a sin is? How can you stop transgression and you don't even know what that is? How can you stop iniquity and you don't know what that is? You have to lose the bands of wickedness. Go ahead.
To undo the heavy burdens.
Yeah, stop oppressing people. Stop oppressing people. Stop talking crazy to people. Stop oppressing the poor. It's oppressive when you just walk past the poor, don't give them nothing, and mumble under your breath, or you go the other way when you see they coming. That's oppression. The poor see that. The poor feel that. This is something that our people do. They'll go all day not giving the poor nothing. They go all week not giving the poor nothing. They go all month not giving the poor nothing. They'll go all year and not give the poor nothing. And do you think they feel bad about it? No. They won't feel bad about it. They'll tell them, oh, man, look at them. Look at them. Look what happened in this storm. Look what happened in the hurricane. Look what happened during this time and that time. But they're not going to help. Matter of fact, you don't got to help nobody way across the country in a hurricane when you got people in a hurricane right here in your cities, in your communities that you can help very often. But watch what it says.
And to let the oppressed go free, and that they break ye, and that ye break every yoke.
Yeah, because when we was in our land, our people didn't even want to let the servants go free. They had the yoke of bondage just like the slave masters here. In other words, loose the bands of wickedness. This is what Yahweh wants done in your fast. Go ahead.
Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry?
That's what you should be thinking after the Day of Atonement. How am I going to feed people? How am I going to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem? You going to hit?
That thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh.
Yeah, these are the things that your fast don't produce. Your fast don't produce this at all. You eating don't produce this at all. As a matter of fact, none of the things you do produce what we just read. The things you do produce this, then this is what will happen in a verse.
Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward.
Because that's what's going to happen when you begin to be a part of the solution. The scriptures say in the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter, the 27th verse, he said, O king, break out thy sins by showing mercy, and thy iniquities by feeding the poor. If you want to get your iniquities blotted out, if you want Yahweh to forgive your sins, start showing mercy to the poor. Just show mercy, period. And start feeding the poor. And you get Yahweh's attention real quick. Continue reading.
Then shall thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday.
And what is the afflicted soul? The afflicted soul is one who don't have the bread. Is one who don't have the water. Is the one that don't eat all the time. These are the afflicted people. People don't mind living on the streets if they got food and water all the time. But when you don't have food and water, then no matter where you at, whether you're in a house, whether you're on the streets, it don't matter where you at. If you don't have food and water, you are the afflicted soul. you're afflicted. And yes, our people was afflicted with hard bondage. But they ate. We have people afflicted with hard bondage, and they still not eating. And this is what Yahweh want his people to acknowledge and to recognize, and he wants them to do something about it. Because if they do something about it, this is what he's going to do in the 11th verse.
And Yahweh shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat.
So in drought, he's going to satisfy thy soul. And what is drought? Drought is when you don't have no water. Because now he's going to provide for you. Go ahead.
And make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be all be, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
Well, this is what you want to begin to do. Go to Yahweh and let him know that you understand. You understand the wicked bands that you want him, that he want you to lose. The point of the finger. The backbiting. And the oppression of the poor. And once you begin to do these things, then you're going to begin to have a real fast. A real fast. And then Yahweh will begin to really hear you and satisfy your soul and heal your health, that it might come back speedily. And we will help you here at the House of Israel help you get where you need to be Yahweh's servant. So continue listening in. Tomorrow we will begin at 10 a.m. And until then, Yahweh love you. And so do I. Shalom.